Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkanda Wira, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you too. Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you.
Lovely. Great to have you here on the show one more time this week. And of course, I do appreciate your time. Do not take it light at all that you have spent and set aside time to actually speak to us about this very important topic of addressing poverty and social issues. I'm not only speaking of myself, but our listeners too, who have thoroughly enjoyed your contribution this week. So let's go to it as we conclude this week, Pastor. Now, it's easy to bury our heads in the sand and pretend that problems facing the rest of the world are none of our business. The parable of the Good Samaritan is evidence of that. But let's also hold up a mirror and look at the current state of our own faith family. Now, economic and social inequality in the world is to be expected, as you spoke about it, Pastor, during the week. Do we have such issues within the church?
Oh, yes, we do. Unfortunately, we do. Our church is divided on such lines, unfortunately.
And so
it is very, very unfortunate that we have churches that are very affluent, and so they look down on those who are not. And you go to the extent where a church member is told, no, 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 you do not belong to this particular church. They'll even go to the extent of telling you, we can actually point you to a church that is worth your status because of these social differences. So unfortunately, it is happening in our very churches, which in my books, should not be happening at all.
Yeah, true, true. It actually should not be happening at all. 100% agree with you. Now, how should we then respond to some of these issues when they occur among us as a faith group? Is it healthy or even effective to sing Kumbaya and pretend, you know, everything is perfect and we come out and Shabbat Shalom, Happy Sabbath, and the Lord is good all the time and all the time the Lord is good? Because we just don't want to be facing this and want to avoid conflict at all costs. Is it really a healthy situation?
Not at all. It is not healthy. Actually, pretense is sin. The Bible actually says so. Let me read this to you. James chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible simply says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, it is sin. And so it is not right that we should pretend that these things are not happening among us. We should address them because they are happening. When they happened in the time of Jesus, he addressed them. When Jesus had gone back to heaven, these things happened still in the times of his disciples, as we learn from Acts chapter 6. And the disciples address these things head on. And so it is not right for us to pretend that we are going to heaven and these things are not happening among us. Now, pretense is sin, so James tells us. And unfortunately, trying to avoid conflict sometimes could be as a result of cowardice. And cowardice is actually sin. And the Bible actually says so. I know I'm making claims today, and so but let me justify this claim.
Right.
In Matthew chapter 26, you have the story of Peter denying Jesus Christ. Now, I want to read that story, and I want you to listen to the words that Matthew uses in describing that denial. So, Matthew 26, verse 69 all the way to 74.
Right.
The Bible says, now Peter sat outside the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. Verse 71, and when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 72, the Bible says, but again he denied it with an oath. I do not know this man. And a little later, those who stood by came and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then the 74, the Bible says, "Then he began to curse and swear, saying, 'I do not know this man.'" Do you see sin in here? The cursing, the swearing, the denial of something he knew, something he knew the girl was talking about. That is all sin. And so this was as a result of being a coward. And so sometimes cowardice leads to sin. And so it is not right that because we want to avoid conflict, so we pretend. So pretense is not supposed to be done. Cowardice, as a result of wanting to avoid things we must confront head on, is still sinful. And so instead of being pretentious and instead of just, you know, just paying a blind eye to what is happening among us, what we need is humility and wisdom in addressing these social and economic inequalities among us. We need to remember that we are the representatives of Christ and that we are called to not only feed the sheep of Christ physically, but we also must, I mean, not only spiritually, we must also feed these sheep spiritually. When Jesus was met with a hungry multitude, after having fed them throughout the day with spiritual food, he fed them also with physical food. So Jesus always ministered to both the physical and the spiritual needs of his people because he had compassion. And we are the representatives of Jesus Christ. And what we must do is meet both spiritual and temporal needs of our people, however different we may be economically or socially.
It's quite important, my pastor, that we really address this head on, because you know we maybe, you know, and behind the masks on a Sabbath, everybody wearing beautifully, everybody has bathed, but some have actually been to church not having eaten anything, and the sad part is that nobody would be knowing about it because they're even scared to say, "Guys, I've not even had food since yesterday." So how are people then to be, you know, encouraged to say, "But don't be scared, but this is a place of safety," because when they look at the brethren, you know, shame comes in to say, "No, man, I look too nice. I can't be exposing my dire poverty while I'm looking at least so nice." What do we say to then the people in this situation, just so that the church could actually stand up and do something?
So I think the first thing to do is not to begin by speaking about these things, but by actually acting these things out. You see, it is one thing to encourage people to open up about their problems. It is another to have them open up and then actually solve their problems. And so the first thing the church should be doing is actually begin to solve these problems. So deliberately, you identify people who are in need, because when you are deliberate about these things, you don't need people to tell you that they are in need. When you are deliberate, you will find people who are in need. So instead of asking them to come forward, begin by opening up avenues whereby they will find it easy for them to come forward, because you are accommodative of such classes of people. And so instead of speaking about it, we should be acting it. And until we have acted enough about it, then we have the right to speak about it. And so the first thing is, first act in a manner that is welcoming of those who are less fortunate than ourselves. So when they see that they can be accommodated because we are accommodative, then they can open up. Then we can encourage them to actually speak and open up, so that we actually use words. Before we use words, let's use action. Then we can use words later. And I like that you asked it from a church point of view. We need to take this very attitude outside the church, in our daily living, in our daily activities. We need to live as such a kind of people. And because we live as such a kind of people away from church, we will bring the same attitude to the church as well. Because you see, the church is supposed to be a community of believers, a family of believers, people who are brothers and sisters. Because how do we claim to be brothers keepers if we're not sisters and brothers in actuality? And so we must begin to act these things first, then we can have the right to talk about them later.
I think that's a very, very sound advice. Well, Pastor, we're going to be wrapping up this afternoon with you. In fact, we've gone through daily these lessons. What are some of the highlights that you'd like the listener to take home with as we as we close down this conversation?
I'm glad that you have asked that in that manner, the highlights. First things first, God wants us to be wealthy. We need to learn to teach wealth acquisition the right way and for the right purposes.
Right.
Why do we need to be wealthy? Because we are the hands, the feet, and the mouth of God here on earth. If we are the children of God, God will use our hands to bless others. He will use our feet to take us to places we must be, and he will use our mouth to speak on his behalf. And if we must be all these things on behalf of God, then we need to realize that we need resources, because it is true what the word says, money makes the world go round. And so we need to understand wealth acquisition, wealth creation. We need to understand it the right way, and we need to understand for what purpose we must have wealth. It is not so we may have an easy life, but also we may be instruments in God's hands. And so after having acquired wealth, and this I plead with the churches, our leaders listening, we must begin to teach our churches the right way. Because you see, in our churches, we ask people to be faithful in tithe returns and offerings and tithe returns. But if people are to be faithful, they need to have the resources from which they take their tithe and offering. So we need to teach the right way of wealth acquisition and for the right purposes why people must be wealthy. God has equipped every human being with talent. The talent is for the purpose of surviving this harsh world. God knows that the earth is mad with sin. He knows that the condition is harsh, but he equips us with talent so that on our own, living a quiet life, we can sustain our lives and sustain our families through the talent he has given us. I said it in the week earlier, that he would be a cruel God if he allowed one person to be born without a talent, so that this person is totally dependent on another human being. But now, he is so good a God, he gave all of us talents according to our abilities. Let us sharpen those talents and make money out of those talents, because that is the purpose for which God gave them to us, so we may survive this harsh world. And so, in a nutshell, if we are the children of God, he will demand from us how well we use our talents to sustain ourselves and to sustain those who are less fortunate than ourselves. God says, if one cannot provide for his family, he is worse than a heathen. What kind of a Christian is he that will not provide for himself, that is dependent on another? Now, I know what I'm saying here. I know what I'm saying. But let me say it. What kind of a Christian is totally dependent on another for their life sustenance? What are we doing with that talent? And so, as God's children, each and every one of us, regardless of how meager our resources may be, we are to be the mouthpiece, the hands, and the feet of God by which he may be able to bless others. And so let's put ourselves in a position where our talents can sustain our lives, and then we can lend a hand to help others in need and lift them out of their poverty, because we are children of God. But above all, we must understand God wants us to be wealthy. When he says the poor you shall always have, he didn't say that we should be the poor. He said we shall always have the poor, not that we are the poor, not that we are to be the poor, but that because we have the poor and we are children of God, we must lift them out of their poverty. That is what Mark says. The poor you will always have. And so in your own time, you can do them good. And so let's understand that we need to be wealthy because God wants us to have enough for ourselves and enough to lend to others. So learn the skills, acquire wealth, and teach the skill to the next generation. That is what God expects of Christians, because we are the children of Abraham. And so we must also inherit the wealth creative ability Abraham had. And there I would say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, it has been a fantastic one. Wealth of knowledge you have given to us, sound advice, and of course, great teachings that have proceeded from your mouth this week. And I pray that God blesses you immensely and of course, expand your ministry and also your territory. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the blessings. I appreciate them. And God bless you too. And happy Sabbath in advance.
Happy Sabbath in advance indeed.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.